This is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6. Paul says, "Working together with him, then, we entreat you not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'At the acceptable time I've listened to you and helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" There are two words in the Greek language for time. One is chronos, from which we get chronology, meaning it's now 11:17. The other is kairos, which means God's time. And it's kairos in this verse where Paul says, "Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation." I had one of those cross the Rubicon kind of moments a month or two ago. When you start moving through your 60s, you start getting sort of relentless reminders, whether it's clickbait on Facebook or a note from your bank or some investor memo or something. It's time to start putting into place your retirement plan. Yay. So I put that off for as long as possible and finally set aside a couple hours, took the call from the planner, as it were. And, of course, the first question they want to know is, well, you know, what are your intentions? And I said, "That's simple. My intention is to bounce the last check I ever write." And he didn't think that was so funny, and it's not prudent to do that. So we start, you know, here's what you've got, here's what you need, here's what you can do, and if the market's low, middle, or high, here's what happens at 5 years, 10 years, and by the way, we'll figure this out intending that you might die at 90. I want 90. Well, the other thing I was kind of hoping was to sort of set the world record in the mile run for people 120 and over. But okay. But and the point of all this is it's all sort of contrived and arbitrary. You know, we're just prognosticating on statistical models, and for all the good they do in my work, that's all they are. It's just some idea, playing the odds, prognostication out into the future. Well, that's when it occurred to me that God said through Paul, now is the acceptable time. Not sometime in the future, but now is the acceptable time. And by the way, that includes not obsessing about the past either. So I want to talk today, in light of this sort of experience, I want to talk about what I call now time. Now time. What does it enable us to do and be about if we consider the value of now, not just as being the acceptable time for whatever it is we got planned for lunch, but for even now is the day of salvation, now time. I think now time means, first of all, it's time for less regret. You know, we live, I think, thinking about, oh, you know, that hadn't happened even 30 years ago, and I wish it hadn't, and we're still feeling the fallout of it. And I think the more profound regrets that we have are the regrets of things that have happened that have largely been of our own failings. And we have certainly all had plenty of moments that if we could just dial it back one time, I would dial back and avoid the really dumb thing that set in motion a whole sequence of painful events, even for people I love. I would dial that back, but you can't. Well, now time enables us to, I think, obsess less about the regret than to absorb what we've learned and how we are different as a result. And I think, by and large, we are different in the wake of the things we regret for the better, if for no other reason that we have to be a little more gentle on other people that do similarly stupid things, even unto us. We have to be a little more gentle, a little more tolerant, and frankly, a little smarter, you know, because we do learn from our mistakes. It sounds trite, but we do. So we learn, we're a little more astute, perhaps a little more gentle. But I think most of all, when now time means less regret, we're a little bit more gentle and tolerant and kind in the moment. And I think that's useful. That's a good use of the moment. Gentle, tolerant, kind. So if now time is a good time for less regret, I think it's also a good time, now time, for more dreams. Looking ahead a little bit. And I guess I mean partially the sort of bucket list kind of things that people say, well, you know, before I'm 120, I'd like to do this, this, or maybe that. And it's partially that, but it's more a mindset than it is a script or even a plan. It's a mindset. Giles McCrary was 80 years old when he had his hip replaced. And he was having a hard time traveling with the bum hip, and so he thought, I'll just get the hip replaced so I can keep doing this. And that worked out to varying degrees. But what I remember is him telling me that the doctor said, these things are usually good for 20 years. And he said, I'm going to get the good out of it, starting at age 80. And that's a mindset. And it didn't exactly work out that way. He got more than half the good out of it. But the mindset is what's important. Dear friend, now departed from my life for 10 years now, was diagnosed with a terrible, he got a terrible diagnosis. And it turned out to be right. They thought he wouldn't live more than a couple years, and he didn't. But in the immediate aftermath of that terrible diagnosis, he renewed his passport. Good idea. You should renew your passport, no matter what the future might or might not hold. And if you don't have one, you should get one anyway, and you should keep it live. Because you never know that you might wake up one morning and say, you know what, I got to pick up the dry cleaning and get the cat to the vet and back, and you know what, then I'm going to Paris. How stupid is that? Well, it may not be, or it may. I mean, there are many, many constraints to just suddenly going to another country. Family, job, money, and all that. But if the time and circumstance where the stars line up happen, you don't want to have the deal breaker. That is, no passport. Because you never know. So get one and keep it current, because it's the mindset of the dreamer that you can touch right now. I know where the passport is, and I know how fast I could get it if I ever wanted to. And whether you never want to at all, knowing you can is the mindset. And I am just touched in so many ways by the fact that when Charlie was told he had limited time, he renewed his passport. That's what you do to keep the mindset in place. So now time means less regrets, more dreams. And it also means staying in the moment. And this is sort of slippery, because staying in the moment also involves the past and the future. You only have a moment. And I was talking last week about anything that can happen to anyone can happen to us at any moment. I mean, any moment is, in fact, anything can happen today. Maybe I get to run the race at 120. Maybe I don't make it back to Lubbock today. I don't know. So the moment really is all we have that matters right now. Now, the value of the moment, by the way, is influenced by the past and also by our plans. There's a very powerful psychological dynamic known as an anchor, where at any given time, you can remember something or sense something or hear something that will take you back to another place or march you forward into a dream. The song at prom when you danced with her or him. And maybe that was the last time you saw her or him. But the song, boom, right back there. We were going through some of this stuff after my mom died a month or so ago, and I saw a picture of my grandfather sitting in a chair, which we still have. And boom, I'm right back to sitting in his lap and even being aware of his pipe tobacco, you know? And by the way, olfactory anchors, aromas and smells are the most powerful ones we have. Lilacs in the spring, or whatever it is, will take you back or push you forward. The moments of our lives are immediate and singular, but they are intimately connected with all the rest of them. So now time means understanding the value of the now. And finally, Paul says, now is not only the acceptable time for leaving aside regrets or making plans for the future. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. I think organized religion spends a little too much time pointing toward the end of time, or maybe even just the end of your time, and where do you think you're going to go, and if you listen to us and do it right, we'll tell you how to get to the right place. Excuse me, salvation is God's work. Well, how do we know that? You can, and we do this, you can orchestrate putting yourself in a position to understand a moment as indicative of salvation. We do this every single year. And everybody, I think, would have their own way of understanding this. Our way is, and I feel like now is the moment is connected to salvation every time I stand on a seashore. Doesn't even matter what seashore it is. Turns out, next week we'll be at Gulf Shores, where we always go, bring the family in, and that's another whole dynamic of the moment of now. But every year, I will stand on the seashore with my feet in the surf and just look south, the Gulf of Mexico. And it always is apparent to me that that outlook looks the same, exactly the same, as when God parted the waters and the land. You know, nothing changes. And there's something timeless and eternal about the seashore. For me. Now, everybody, I'm not suggesting that you do that and contrive it and feel the same thing. But you can find ways, whether it's on the edge of the cap rock or someplace or simply in the company of someone who loves you, you know that this moment is connected to eternity. And then you know that you are in the middle of God's time. God's time now. Now time, which is today, the day of salvation.